Hey, how about that weekend, huh? Lots of changes. That's right. Like, me, for example. My name is no longer Gary. Now it's...
Bond. James Bond.
That's right. So watch out. I'm in it now. Stevie Winwood. Whenever I play that song, you know that I am trying to inspire us. And here we are. It's Monday morning. It's 5 after the hour. I don't know how to do this if it's... let's see here. You're on... What I need to tell you is you're on daylight... we're off daylight savings time. We're on standard time now, right? So if like right now where I'm sitting, you know, It's actually 9:05 in Chicago on Monday morning. But if you're listening to the rebroadcast, see you later today. Wow. You know, and now that I think about it, if it's already Wednesday, you know, you're probably in bad shape. You know what? Let's go up to Ontario, Canada, because they had the same thing going on, I think, didn't they?
You may have a little extra bounce in your step after logging an additional hour of sleep Sunday morning.
It's going to be harder for us to fall asleep, harder for us to wake up in the morning, especially when it feels like 4 o'clock in the morning when we wake up at 7 right now.
As we bid farewell to evening sunshine, sleep experts are urging Ontarians to make sure they get a proper dose of vitamin D.
It's dark all the time, okay? It's going to make it hard for us to want to be awake, essentially. So get outside during the day.
But Ontario could soon see the end of daylight saving time.
79% of the world don't follow the time change practice. We're actually in the minority here.
A private member's bill tabled last month by a conservative MPP has passed a second reading. It argues daylight saving time should be permanent, paving the way for more outdoor activities in colder months.
We can be at the forefront here in Ontario of getting us to shed off this outdated practice and hopefully get a lot of the other jurisdictions around us to follow suit.
Yukon moved to permanent daylight saving time in March, and provincial leaders in British Columbia and Alberta are also looking at ending the practice.
We can experience up to a 30% increase in the number of collisions that we investigate every day.
Police have launched a road safety campaign in an effort to lower the number of collisions in Toronto because of the time change.
We're asking people to, you know, focus on what they're doing, plan to take more time.
While this could be the final time Ontarians set their clock back.
Oops. I didn't mean to do that. Hang on. Darn it. I wanted you to hear somebody say outdoor activity. All right. We've made our point. We're on daylight standard. Damn it. We are off daylight savings time. And we're on standard timer. All right, I hope that you managed to set your clocks properly over the weekend. Well, you know, I have a thoroughly disjointed show in my head today, and I hope that's okay. I thought we'd just sort of figure it out. Today is the day before, not in Canada, but let's all go. Come on, the Yukon sounds good today. This is the day before the election here in the United States. Oh, Lord. All right, you want to feel good? Okay, this is the last time you're going to hear this jerk on my show.
I think it's a terrible thing when ballots can be collected after an election.
That's right.
I think it's a terrible thing when people or states are allowed to tabulate ballots for a long period of time after the election is over, because it can only lead to one thing, and that's very bad. You know what that thing is. I think it's a very dangerous, terrible thing. And I think it's terrible when we can't know the results of an election the night of the election in a modern-day age of computers. And I think a lot of fraud and misuse can take place. I think it's a terrible decision by the Supreme Court. A terrible,
terrible
decision.
Terrible.
Now, I don't know if that's going to be changed. Because we're going to go in the night of, as soon as that election's over, we're going in with our lawyers.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair that we have to wait a long period of time after the election. If people wanted to get their ballots in, they should have gotten their ballots in long before that,
That's
time.
Right. That's right. And we would have gotten them in, but you screwed up the Postal Service.
I think it's a ridiculous decision. Thank you.
That's right. Lock him up. You want to? I was listening to that this morning, and I don't know why I guess I've become unhinged here. My parents used to drink a little bit and fight, and my sister and I used to notice that you could tell how drunk they were by the number of times the word terrible appeared. You're a terrible, terrible person. No, you're a terrible, terrible. Did you listen to that bite from the outgoing president? It's a terrible, terrible. So anyway, yeah. What an effing crybaby. Jesus. He hasn't even lost officially yet, and he's already complaining about it. Anyway, yeah, I guess we're venting a little bit today. I hope that you have voted. I have a feeling everybody who listened to this show probably did. Maybe tomorrow, but I have a feeling not. I think a lot of people have already voted. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how true this is. It just, I don't know, as we now talk about counting and stuff, blah, 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 I have a feeling that if all the votes were counted right now, we would be done, meaning that I think we have enough votes to swing the election that have already been mailed. I don't know, and I may not be true about that. So if it's not true, don't stop. I was going to vote, and then the guy on the radio said, no. I'm just saying that we have an enormous number of ballots that have already been cast, and I think that's probably what's going on here. So what else? You know what? You notice me stammering. I want to get to some real news, which is I want to talk about Sean Connery, who passed over the weekend. We'll get into that. 90. Wow, a true hero, a true role model. We'll talk about role models a little bit today. I gotta say, I was stunned to see this jazz that happened in Texas. I hope you didn't see it, where a group of yahoos, a group of self-appointed vigilantes, decided that they would try to drive Trump's campaign bus off the highway between San Antonio and Austin. I've been on that highway, I know it. And I was looking at that, and I don't know what to say. There's an entity called the Texas Department of Public Safety. That's their state police. It's not the Texas Rangers. That's more like a Texas FBI, but Texas Department of Public Safety. Where were they? Where were they? The FBI says they're going to start an investigation. Anyway, that got me cranked over the weekend, and that's all I want to say about that. If that's the way you want us to run our country, then something. So, yeah. All right, we'll talk. I was going to say we'll talk more about that. How about we talk less about that? So, yeah. If you haven't mailed in your ballot, obviously you can't do it now. It's too late. If you haven't voted, please make a plan to vote tomorrow. All right. That's all I'm going to say. One of the things that I put down a sounds like last decade, but when I was writing down some notes for the show earlier in the year, I put three goals for the show down. And number one was get people to vote. I hope we have accomplished that. So, yeah. All right. I'm looking all around the room here and the screens, and I was trying to remember what we were going to do right now. I know what it was. We were going to hear this. Sean Connery passed over the weekend. He was 90. I want to talk more about Sean. I was a kid in the 60s, and I think everybody wanted to be James Bond. We went to the James Bond movies. I mean, who wouldn't? It was like, what, 14, 15? He gets the girls. He's got the cool guns. He drives the cool cars. At that point, I would have settled to driving any car, but he showed us how to do it. Made an enormous amount of money, had a tremendous run. And yeah, what do you say about somebody who lived to be 90 and had such a life? that we are still talking about him 2 days after he passed away. Sir Sean Connery. James Bond and a Chicago cop in a movie called The Untouchables. We're going to get to that today. R.I.P. 16 after the hour. Lewis, what's that movie from? What movie is that from? It's from Back to the Future, isn't it? Ah, yes, it is. I've got a stack. I have stacks of stuff that we didn't do. I have notes, Doc's inventions from Back to the Future. We didn't do that because we didn't have time to do it. Why? Because we were talking about Trump. We were going to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania last week, the home of milk chocolate in the United States. We didn't get a chance to do that because we talked about Trump. I have a list of about 30 birds that have symbolisms, and we didn't get a chance to do that because we were talking about Trump. So let's lock him up right now. All right. Well, maybe a little bit before that. You know, this is interesting. I just was talking about Sean Connery, and we will endeavor to talk more about him. This is a great quote. You ready? He was talking about when he has shot a scene or when he's acting, he goes and reads somebody else's lines. What do you mean? Well, why would you do that? He's talking about he was talking about The Untouchables, which is about a Chicago situation. Anyway, he read Jim Malone's lines. Jim Malone is the Irish cop that he played. And then he read the scenes in which his character did not appear. What? And he said, well, that way I get to know what the character is aware of and, more importantly, what he is not aware of. The trap that bad actors fall into is playing information they don't have. What has that got to do with today? I think it has an enormous amount to do with today. In fact, Aaron the News Baron joins us, who always works with what we know but tries to avoid what we don't know. Is that true? Does that make sense to you? Hang on. There we go. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. None of the buttons work. Is this really you?
Yes, it is, yeah.
This is our actual Baron has been kidnapped and has been replaced by... No, we know that it's you. We have you on speed dial. So I don't even know what to do here on the election. Are you as burned out as I am? Probably not, because you're somewhat younger. But do you have a sense of burnout? I mean, do you or don't you?
Yeah, honestly, I do. I'm sure not to the same extent, but it would be a huge sigh of relief once we get to the third.
Yeah, the third, and is that this week?
Yeah. Unfortunately so.
So, let's be conventional news people here, if we can. The polls look pretty poor for Trump. That's why he knows he's going to lose. I mean, he knows he's going to lose on... Officially, I don't know what he's cooking up in that spider in the brain thinking, but the polls do not look so good. So hit it quickly. What about Pennsylvania? That's kind of the state in play, yeah.
Yeah, that is. So if you were to look at like the winding road of what gets Biden to 270, Pennsylvania is that last brick on the wall that gets him past that mark.
Yeah, and how does it look right now in Pennsylvania?
So he's a new recent poll came up with him +7. His average is around 6. So he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, wow. That actually has changed in the last few days, isn't it, Matt?
Yes, it does.
Well, what do you attribute that to? I think people want to vote for a winner. That's my unadulterated amateur take on that. I think as people sense that the Democrats can win this, more people said we'll do it. So go ahead. What do you think about that? Does that have a factor? Or what's the real reason?
Yeah, that's true. I think that Biden made a huge bet that he kind of won on at this point. He bet on just taking a seat back and just casting himself as the alternative to Trump.
Yeah.
So the whole election was about Trump, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was wishy-washy whether or not I thought that was accurate. I thought Trump could make a rebound, but he has 100% failed at every chance he was handed to present himself as the leader everyone, or at least his voters, wanted him to be.
Yeah, it's almost...
We thought that he could potentially become.
Aaron, it's almost like I keep pinching myself saying we won't have to do this a year from now. But as we try to do the ramp down of the Trump years here, I never exactly understood it. Nobody really thought that Trump could do as poorly as he did. You know, I mean, I don't get it. He is continually shot himself in the foot, and I don't know. That's why I think ultimately he is crazy. And speaking as former Secretary of State Tillerson said, he is a moron. I'm quoting there. So, what do you think? We're like watching. It's like watching the end of 2001, where hell, the computer just shuts down. Do you have that sense that his brain is just... Plus, he's I don't know, who knows whether he's taking Adderall, but He certainly is standing up and talking for long periods of time. What about that? And I note that he actually managed to violate a curfew in Florida, a COVID curfew, by talking so long. So Aaron, do the Trump people know that he's nuts or what? Or haven't they gotten used to it? What's your take on that?
I wish I could just go to a bar and just speak to these people at face value. I do not freaking know, to be 100% honest with you. He just had another rally where he left them outside without the buses and was in the cold looking around curiously.
I know.
I'm just, like, that is a pure amazement is how, first, you can talk about Trump and how crazy he is. And he's proven himself time and time again. So that's not a partisan issue. Right. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He does crazy things. But his followers, I don't know. Maybe they're just, I don't know, honestly.
I can't figure it out. I really can't. At the end of this, I'd like to, you know, sort of say, well, here's what happened and here's why it happened and the rest of it. I just don't know. I'm not really a good political analyst at all. I don't understand the Trump people. I don't get it. And all the stuff, you know, I read a story on some guy that, I don't know, he's like my age and seems like a normal person. He spent the weekend, he drove an hour and a half to see Trump. I'm like, what? Why? That's all he had to do? I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe if they want them to stand in the next room. As much as I like President Obama, and my friend Microphone Jones met the president, and my daughter saw him speak a couple of times, you know, I honor the man, but I don't see myself following him and going to the rallies and all that. I don't know. What about it? It's sort of like the Trump people. It's like a flock of sheep who found the shepherd or something. What do you think about that?
That's very true. Very, very, very true. And I think there's also like this tandem link to social media.
Right.
And how good he is at altering the perspective of the media and deciding what is being paid attention to and dictating what we're actually talking about. So if you look at like social media and how much they tailor your feed and tailor what you may like and then push that to you at a high extreme rate. I think a lot of it comes to the fact that we're just seeing different information at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're not all seeing the same facts, and he's just taking control of that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I noticed that over the weekend, the term fake news has come back. People, you know, that was like Trump's thing. Somebody called the polls fake news. How do you figure that?
A lot of Trump voters do, when they get these calls from pollsters, they lie up and down. So he just exacerbated these deep, deep feelings and opinions on our democracy and the government and big government. He just brought them all to the top. And I think it's coming to a climax. So.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what Trump's good at. I mean, he must be good at something, right? I think you nailed it, though. I think you nailed it. I think he has been able to separate what people are going to care about from what they don't care about here. I just saw a record 94 million voters cast their ballots by today. Wow. Jeez. That's an enormous turnout. Are you surprised? What does that tell you?
I'm honestly surprised. I knew it was going to be a big turnout. I didn't expect it to rival 2008's turnout, but I am very surprised. I know a lot of the people who are early voting have like a 30 or something some point lead in those votes.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump has like a 27 point lead in the votes on election day that casts mm-hmm. are being forecasted at least.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of these votes are against Trump or for Trump, and I think that was a key smart thing Biden did early on. He said, if you're for this craziness, let's pay as much attention to the craziness to get as many people off of that train as possible, and the rest of you with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the moderate, everyone, you know, team player guy. I think that was really smart, and that's what people are voting on.
I agree with that. I've warmed up to Biden. Not that I ever had anything against Biden. I just, you know, I see him as kind of a functional guy, but he's a plotter, and that's a good thing. And I don't know. I think people need less drama right now. I agree with that. I think that's been a really smart choice. It's half past the hour. This is Aaron the News Baron. on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago here on Bleat.network. We are on Central. I keep wanting to say we are on Central Standard Time here in Chicago, and the rest of the country, wherever you are, you should be on Standard Time soon. I'm not sure. I spent like an entire show every Monday after a time change. Is there anybody in America, Aaron? Is there anybody in America that doesn't know we changed our clocks, or is it?
Honestly, maybe not, but their phones and computers did it for them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I did play. I started to play that clip of the Canadians. They want to get rid of daylight savings time. So
we need to.
I know. They knew. Do we need more outdoor activities? So anyway, and let me say something nice about Dr. Fauci, who Trump threw under the bus over the weekend. I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about he's going to fire Fauci after the election. And get what? Marcus Welby to come in and run the country? I don't know. What is he getting at? I'm really ticked about that. Fauci seems to me to be just like a public servant with a big P.
Yeah.
And so what's this thinking that if you don't, I guess that's behead the messenger, right? That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we stop testing, then the disease will look better to us because we won't be testing for it. So
mm-hmm.
do you think that his followers now see Fauci as like an evil guy?
Yep. Him, Bill Gates, anyone, it's so crazy. Anyone who's trying to be responsible when it comes to this pandemic, their words, they know their words matter and they have an impact. So they're trying to say the right things and do the right things for the country.
Yeah.
But now they're public enemy number one, two, and three. So, like, Fauci has a team of FBI agents now because he gets so many death threats.
Is that right? I did not know that. Wow, does he really? Jeez, that is, wow. That is awful. I don't get it. I wish I were a lawyer a lot. I think this year maybe more than I'm used to. This whole idea of inciting a crime of, you know, I mean, it used to be illegal, right? If I say, you know, you really ought to go out and shoot Joe in the head. And if you go out and shoot Joe in the head, then we're both in trouble, are we not? Did that change, Aaron? You know what I'm getting at.
Hey, it's just a retweet.
Yeah.
It's just a retweet, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, we're going to president retweet. I have a lot of, I'm going to close my, I call him President Super Spreader, President Orange, President Orange Hair, President Retweet. Yeah, so. So anyway, give me your quick prediction. Tomorrow, I'm sure it's going to be a mess everywhere. But as I said, I thought that most of the ballots that were important probably have already been cast and they'll be tallied up. So what do you make of all this? Does this smell like a landslide to you?
At the very least, Biden's going to win the votes. When you count up the votes, if he can get the chance to count up every single vote, Biden will win.
Yeah.
By 8 p.m. our time, we'll have Florida, Georgia, Virginia out. He may win Georgia. By 9, we'll have Pennsylvania. He needs Pennsylvania. By 10, we'll have Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. That's the rest of the industrial west there. Mm-hmm. So we could see a landslide. I just would have everybody on standby for Trump trying to pull some strings when it comes to court cases, trying to discount or discredit the ballots that were in. But if you get these votes counted, and Biden has 9,000 lawyers in multiple states lined up,
yeah,
he's going to win. So we should all be hopeful, but ready.
Well, I mean, it seems to me, again, be great if I were a lawyer, but we're kind of he's losing some of these. Didn't the Republicans in Texas try to get 100,000 votes thrown out, and that went nowhere. So
yeah,
the
Supreme Court didn't even take it up.
No, I know. So yeah, I think the guy is. I'm almost gonna play that whiny clip again. Where that's not fair. It's not fair. I don't want to go to bed, Dad. He really sounds like a 4-year-old. That missed a nap. So anyway, well, I hope that I hope you're right, and I think you're right. I think we're going to be all right here. I don't know. It's almost like on one level, we were worried that it was going to be so close, it'd be a problem. Now, if it's a landslide, I don't know what difference that is, but we have to work with what the facts are. So
yeah.
Well, you sound like you're okay with this.
I will unclench after the fifth.
You will unclench.
Until then, I don't know. I'm bated breath over here.
All right. Here in the news, Baron, unfortunately, we're going to have you on this week again. So,
all right.
Try to stay vertical. As we wait on the world to change. World is changing, and in fact, it may change before our very eyes in the next couple of days. It's 21 before the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago at bleat.network. So many things to think about this week, and yeah, you know, I gotta be honest, of the things that I could say about Trump, he got me back into radio. I know that's another thing to be mad at him about. Oh, is that you? I was not aiming at speaking on the radio again for a while, and then we had the pandemic, and I don't know, it just seemed like the right thing. So, for what that's worth, we got that out of Trump. Trump brought me people like Aaron the News Baron, the next generation, the generation that's going to figure it out, the generation that will, I think, fix so much of what is wrong right now. So I guess that's something I gotta thank Trump for. Well, not that much, you know what I mean. So, anyway, it's a reflective time. I hope we're all reflecting this week. Yeah, I'm looking at the, you know, historical stuff every day. That's another thing, you know, this whole notion of time traveling. And there was a time, you know, when, you know, if you'd be on the radio and you're doing too much nostalgia. I remember getting a note. I was about halfway through a six-hour show with somebody, and we were talking about just, you know, nostalgia and movies and stuff like that. And the producer shot me a note that said, "How about we talk about some people who are alive now?" So anyway, I guess we go back and forth. I do think that history does it does set the stage for so much, and the past is prologue. Is on the that's over the doorway of the National Archives in Washington. What comes before, you know, it is important. So, yeah, I hate to say, people, you're in the middle of history. You are. Jimmy, get up. It's history. You're part of it. So we are part of it. Tomorrow will be the day that people are talking about many years from now. So today's birthdays include, let's see here, David Schwimmer. I should have gotten up from Friends, right? Yeah. Burt Lancaster, tremendous actor. Marie Antoinette, who, God, there's like a Melania Trump joke in there somewhere. Can you help me? Who else? Katie Lang has a birthday. We'll get some Katie Lang on at some point here. Keith Emerson. Of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I don't think we'll play any Emerson, Lake, and Palmer maybe on this day part. And then I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't know why I didn't know this because it happens every year. James K. Polk was the 11th president of the United States, and Warren G. Harding was the 29th, and they both have a birthday today. And the interesting thing about it is that Polk is the guy that some historians will tell you is the president who did everything, who actually accomplished everything that he said he was going to do, and then he was done. Polk was, I don't know, this is from my head, he was the only speaker, he was the only president who had been Speaker of the House. So that'd be Nancy Pelosi, where are you now? Anyway, yeah, Polk was the Speaker of the House. Polk was the Mexican War, another blot on our history, and that was his idea. But in general, the point being that he said he was going to do these things, and he did them, and that's that Polk some juice. And then you have Warren Harding, All right, this is something women stand up and be irritated along with us. So the women finally got the vote in the United States for the election of 1920, and the country elected Warren G. Harding, who turned out to be kind of a boob. And somebody said, well, you know, that's because these women, they give them the vote, and then they voted for somebody they thought was good looking. So, you want a good looking, you know, pull up a picture of Warren G. Harding. See if you can picture him, you know, with or without clothes. What else today? A big, I don't usually do death days, death anniversaries. George Bernard Shaw, death anniversary today. There's a lot of stuff we could say about Shaw. And Willie Sutton. Who is Willie Sutton? Willie Sutton was a famous bank robber. And they said to Willie, this is a great line. They said to Willie, why do you rob banks? And he says, because that's where the money is. So, Willie, there's an honest bank robber. All right. Tell you what, I'm going to do some James Bond and some Sean Connery and some stuff like that. I bet we can get inspired together. And I bet that can happen today. Wait a minute. Hang on. I can't believe this mouse isn't working. Oh, it is now. Oops. I will survive.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, I'll now go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. And I'll survive. I will survive.
Let's do it. Let's survive. Let's make a deal. Let's make a promise. Let's make a plan. Well, I will if you will. It's 11 before the hour. It is the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago at bleat.network, and we'd like to hear from you. Please, at radioanything@gmail.com, you can shoot us a toll-free message. That's 844-220-3300. I really will play it. I really will. So, we've been doing this, 6-7 months? We're just getting rolling here. So, if you haven't left me a message yet, I hope you'll do it. If you haven't shot me an email yet, I hope you'll do it. And if you haven't called us live, we'll make more and more of an opportunity to do that. I know you need to know when to do that and how to do it, and we'll get to that. So, yeah, all right. Let's see here. I was looking. I have a folder of stuff that I wanted to get to that we ran out of time for. Let's see here. I mentioned. Let's see if I can find this. We had a big Halloween stack that just got overwhelmed last week. Sparks and I were both trick or treating each other in our own way, and we got a whole bunch of stuff here. I could have done Halloween. This is the category I'm looking at. I'm saying, geez, you know, what did I miss when we were talking about the latest nonsense with Trump? Well, we did not go to Hershey, Pennsylvania. We will do that. We're gonna do a little virtual tour if we can pull that off. Hershey's is where they make the chocolate bars. So that's a good one. And then I wanted to get to, if I can pull this up, I wanted to make a point of this. Let me just see. Hang on. Come on. This is live radio here. I bookmarked, because we had all this stuff on Halloween and, ghost research, things like that. And I was trying to figure out, let's see here. Here we go. I wanted to talk about ghosts because, you know, that's a Halloween thing. And I was going to get into that. And then, let's see, I'm scrolling now. Here we go. Apple News, my new go-to source, had an article on why we see ghosts, which was kind of interesting. I mean, it's sort of, you know, and that's another, that is another thing that we can talk about. I have a little bit of a, let's just say I have what might be a surprising perspective on that. But what I really liked about this article here on seeing ghosts, let me see if I can find this, is that it had ghost finding tools. And if you've ever seen, I don't know, these ghost hunter shows on TV, they're all loaded with them. Okay, where are my ghost toys? I know they had a Geiger counter. Let's see here. Boy, you know, I'm going to read an ad, and they wouldn't even let me do it here. They have a Geiger counter. I don't know, are ghosts radioactive? I don't know. They had all these things for measuring, like, static stuff that I could create if I stood here at the microphone and went, and then I played that, you'd say, oh, I heard the ghost. So that was kind of interesting. The word ectoplasm came up again in this. So anyway, there was about, I'm going to print this out. There's about, it was about six essential ghost search tools that you must buy. And these were, and I'm surrounded by a lot of equipment here in the studio. These things were not cheap. So, I was looking at that. Maybe I'll investigate more of that. And the other thing about, all right, I have, again, here's the Halloween file here. Did you know more people, especially millennials, are buying costumes for their pets? 20% did so in 2018, up from 16% in 2017. I can't wait for Christmas is it just me? The pets look embarrassed. Come on, your dog does not want to wear antlers. I mean, they are. All right, you want to give us a break. So that came up. And then the other thing that I wanted to investigate more, this I did not know, was that the thing that seems to pop up, and as we went through our research on all the Halloween stuff, there was a whole bunch of fortune telling going on Halloween night, on All Hallows Eve. And I was trying to figure out why fortune telling got combined in there. People used to get together and tell each other's fortunes with their masks on, right? Here, hi, I'm dressed like a seal, but I'm going to tell your fortune. So yes, that's what they did. And I was just trying to figure out what the story on that was. I was looking to see here. And one more. Here we go. All right, here we go. In Scotland, fortune tellers recommended that an eligible young woman name a... it's always with the women, right? It's like the unmarried man, no problem. Gotta get those women married off. So in Scotland, fortune tellers recommended that an eligible young woman name a hazelnut for each of her suitors and then toss the nuts into the fireplace. This isn't a bad idea, huh? Are there any women listening to me that are being surrounded by suitors? So you name a hazelnut for each of your suitors, and then you toss the nuts into the fireplace. The nut that burns to ashes rather than popping or exploding represents the girl's future husband. These are the things that we should have been doing, but instead, we were watching James Bond movies like this one called The Untouchables.
You said you wanted to know how to get Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm making you a deal. Do you want this deal?
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
Well, the Lord hates a coward. Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
I leave you with that thought on a Monday. What are you prepared to do? This Widecast produced by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, or also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.